Reformation and Apostasy, A Sad History, an editorial by Professor Russell Dykstra. Withdrawing from a church is no small matter. Every member of a congregation is part of a living body, a manifestation of the body of Christ. Paul instructs the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Spirit equips each member for the place and function that God determines for him in the body of the church. Each one is necessary, verse 22, and there must be no schism in the body, but the members must have the same care one for another, verse 25. Departure from one church to begin another is a serious matter indeed. A member must be convinced that the church where he is a member has apostatized. He may leave only after he has done his duty to warn the church of their errors and wicked course of life. Understanding the significance of membership in a church, sincere believers rarely leave a church. Rather, protesters are driven out by the apostatizing church and they are forced to form the new church. The origin of the Christian Reformed Church is different. The founders of the CRC were not put out of the Reformed Church. They pulled out. Coming from the offscouring churches in the Netherlands, they joined the RCA, the church with ministers who could speak their language, and the church that bountifully assisted them. Without the RCA's help, it is quite possible that the Dutch settlers would have starved in the woods and swampland of western Michigan. The Dutch immigrants joined the RCA, but they did not know the RCA. How could they? After arrival in America, most went quickly into the interior of the country, to Michigan. Had they stayed in the East Coast and worshipped in a Reformed church, they would have understood virtually nothing of the all-English service. Though nearly all of them were literate in Dutch, they were unable to read the publications, the songbooks, or the minutes of the RCA ecclesiastical gatherings, all in English. After joining the RCA as Classis Holland, they heard disturbing reports. Reformed churches sang hymns in worship services, and some of these hymns contained Arminian errors. The Heidelberg Catechism was not preached systematically in some, or many, churches. In some of the churches, choirs sang in the Sunday services. It was reported that Sunday school replaced catechism classes for the youth. In addition, some Reformed churches were loose in guarding the table and freely allowed non-Reformed people to partake of communion. The people in western Michigan were appalled. Many of these very errors were the cause of their leaving the Reformed church back in the Netherlands. Perhaps they had made a mistake. The bad reports continued. They were told that the RCA tolerated membership in the lodge, clearly anti-Christian secret societies, even for ministers and elders. They discovered that the RCA had modified the canons of Dordrecht, dropping the rejection of errors. Besides that, house visitation was neglected, as well as observation of special holidays like Christmas and Pentecost. And it was said that some pastors baptized babies in homes or consistory rooms. In all fairness, it must be noted that many of these reports were hearsay, most of them brought by one man, an elder of the church in Grand Rapids, and most of these reports were hotly contested and rejected by Reverend Van Ralty. Nonetheless, hearing these reports, several hundred people became convinced that they could not in good conscience remain members in the RCA. Accordingly, they withdrew and formed a new denomination, the Christian Reformed Church. The CRC had weaknesses rooted in the offscouring churches from which her members came. Nonetheless, by the grace of God, it stood for the Reformed faith embraced by the offscouring members in the Netherlands. In matters of worship, psalm singing, confessions, and doctrine, they returned to the Reformed, in other words, biblical, pattern. They established their own Christian schools, set up their own seminary, and eventually had the manpower and means for missions. They were not ashamed to stand for the Reformed faith and to live antithetically over against worldliness in America. They prospered under God's blessing. But where is the CRC today, 155 years later? Any Reformed man or woman, knowing the courageous stand of the early CRC and their return to Reformed doctrine and practice, will be both astonished and grieved at the state of the CRC today. Somewhere along the line, the CRC lost her reformed moorings and was swept away with a flood of false doctrine and a tide of worldliness. The sad reality is that, out of the 11 reasons given by the CRC church historians for why they left the RCA, they have gone back on 10. 10 of these evils are openly practiced or maintained in the CRC. The only one that is not approved is membership in the lodge. Of all the evils that corrupted the CRC, the most deadly was the admission of Arminianism, the rejection of the Reformed doctrine of salvation set forth in the Canons of Dordrecht. The CRC did this in 1924 with the official adoption of the Three Points of Common Grace. The Three Points posit a grace for all, elect and reprobate alike, contrary to the Reformed doctrine of double predestination, Canons Head 1, that God eternally chose Jacob in love, but hated and rejected Esau. The CRC officially decided that God has a certain favor toward all, including the Esaus. Predestination was effectively gainsaid. The Reformed doctrine of predestination could hardly be proclaimed in the face of the Three Points. Implicit in the Three Points is the denial of limited atonement, Canons Head 2. If God has a grace for all, what is the basis for it? God's grace to His people, guilty in Adam, worthy of death, is grounded in the cross. Christ paid for the sins of His people, and the ever-righteous God has favor on this people made righteous in the blood of Christ. But on what basis does the Holy God have favor on the ungodly reprobate? The CRC theologians struggled and concluded that, in some sense, Christ died for the reprobate as well. And now, the world, of John 3, verse 16, the world God loved and for whom Christ died, is interpreted to mean every man, woman, and child who ever lived or will live. In 1924, the CRC officially decided that this common grace of God, while not changing the heart, made the unregenerate man not as bad as he would be without common grace, and even able to do good deeds of which God approves. This explicitly denies the doctrine of total depravity as taught in all three Reformed confessions. Besides, the Synod of 1924 officially adopted the well-meant gospel offer, the same offer that the Remonstrants taught in 1618, and which the Reformed Church rejected in the canons. That the CRC adopted the Remonstrants' concept of the free offer was recently demonstrated in an article in the Calvin Theological Journal. One sadly concludes that no one in the CRC cares that his church officially adopted Arminianism, at least, cares enough to do something about it. Common grace has bitter fruits. The judgment of God is evident in that He has given them over to the follies of common grace. Some of the gross errors tolerated include approval of women in the special offices of pastor, elder, and deacon, toleration of, if not official approval of, theistic evolution, membership in labor unions that strike against the employer, contemporary forms of worship, in other words, liturgical dance, drama, allowing a form of higher criticism in the doctrine of Scripture and its interpretations, approval of worldly entertainment such as the movie and the dance. All these and more, it can be demonstrated, were justified on the basis of common grace. Dreadful is the spectacle of the CRC in 2012. They have forgotten the reasons their forebears gave for coming out of the RCA. Consequently, they corrupted themselves with the same errors. And while the RCA sinfully tolerated or failed to discipline those who taught Arminianism, the CRC officially adopted the main tenets of Arminianism and disciplined those who would not sign the Three Points. Thus, the lamentable state of the CRC. One question demands an answer. Why are the CRC and the RCA separate? One major difference separating the two denominations historically has been their attitude toward the education of their children. For decades, the CRC was strong in establishing and maintaining their own Christian grade schools and high schools. The RCA was content to use public education for their children and only establish and maintain Christian colleges. Today, that difference has largely disappeared. The Banner reported several years ago that only 19% of the Christian Reformed Church youth receive Christian education. So why not reunite? Efforts toward reunion started already in the 1880s. Almost no progress was made for many years. More recently, these efforts seem to be bearing fruit. In 2006, the two denominations decided to allow the exchange of ministers. They seem to be on the path to unity. There is no reason not to unite, and with the heavy losses in memberships to both, they have another reason to join together. But for all that, it will not be a union blessed by God. Two denominations apostatizing, manifesting not the marks of the true church, but of the false. Any union will be based on the common ground of error, and as they both hold hands, they will travel farther down that road to destruction. This is no cause for gloating. This is sad, unspeakably sad, and it is a warning. This history, both the Reformation of 1857 and the subsequent departure, calls the believers in the CRC to come out. It calls them to seek the old paths, the Reformed faith and walk. This same history is a warning to the United Reformed Churches that came out of the CRC. The URC came out of the CRC long after the Mother Church had gone back on 10 of the 11 reasons for leaving the RCA. The URC have many of the same errors in their midst. Much worse, the URC have the official adoption of Arminianism, the 3 points of common grace, as part of their heritage. Unless the URC reject this error and root it out of their theology, practices, and thinking, they will not escape the apostasy of the CRC. This sad history is a warning to seek the old paths. And finally, this history is a solemn warning to the Protestant Reformed churches. The return to Reformed faith and practice in 1857 is our heritage. Likewise, and of greater significance, the Reformation of 1924 rejecting the 3 points, and the Reformation of 1953 rejecting the conditional covenant, along with the concomitant positive development of Reformed doctrine in both instances. All this belongs to the heritage of the PRC. God has graciously preserved the PRC in that heritage, in other words, in the Reformed faith. Believers, know your history. Zealously embrace the truth and reject the lie. Hold fast what you have. God does not guarantee the preservation of any particular denomination or congregation. He does, however, promise to preserve His church as the pillar and ground of the truth, the church that loves and uncompromisingly stands for His truth.